Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, this is Gwen, and Nicole is with me, and welcome to the Consciousness Shift. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Gwen.
We're coming to you at 7 p.m. from the right side of the country if you're looking towards Canada, but the left side of the country if you're looking down. So, anyways, let's play a little clip of something very positive before we get into zombie land. What do you think, huh?
Sounds good.
Okay, this is a little Abraham Hicks again.
There is a plethora of powerful counselors and teachers who have been attempting to get people to be round pegs and square holes, who know the futility of that. And your world is ripe for this understanding. It is ripe for this understanding. So as you know it and hold it and set forth your intention to attract those who know it too, there will be a gathering of counselors and teachers and a movement of allowing the light of which this planet is not seen in. In other words, this is the time of awakening. And what that means is waking up to who you are, not waking up to who your mother thinks you ought to be. Waking up to who you are, waking up to what you have put in your vibrational escrow, not fulfilling the wishes and needs of a society of others. When you tap in, as a well-meaning teacher as you are, to the personal desire of a person who is living life and they have put some things out there in their vibrational escrow, and you look at them knowing the perfection of where they stand, and you give your undivided attention to who they have asked for themselves to be, now you are an uplifter of extreme proportion. It feels good, but it isn't. It is as simple as this. You're interacting with one person who could feel happier than they do. And you have the ability to see them as they really are and hold your picture of who they really are so clearly in your own mind that when they're with you, they see it too.
Of the guidance and certain of the outcome. How about you, Nick? Are you eager and sure about things these days?
Eager and what?
Sure.
Sure. Well, that's definitely the goal. I am. I can't honestly say 100% of the time.
I don't think any of us are. I think that, as Abraham said, when we take a look at the goal we are trying to actually attain, whatever it is on whatever project, if we can manage to look at it with eagerness and enthusiasm and be sure that we can accomplish that goal, then we will. And it's not a 24/7 kind of glance or view of the goal. It's just that we can do it. We'll live with that for us. How long we can do it. I don't know if it's a moment, if it's an afternoon or it's an evening, but we just keep coming back round to it. I think the point is, right now, especially, that while we still have, you know, some semblance of sanity out here, you know, politically and socially, while all of the, you know, ugly things that are happening in government and across different countries are happening right now. If we can maintain a positive attitude, if we can nurture hope just a few minutes every day and spread that on, I think it's like I was saying before, this is a time of new initiations, I think, don't you?
Absolutely. I think what you're saying is planting the seeds of the faith and the understanding that things are going to blossom, have that enthusiasm. And you're right. You don't have to have it every day, every moment of every day. Of course, that's the goal. But you're right.
It's our job. It's our job.
Mm-hmm. Right. For as much and as strong and the manifestation, right, the vision of what we want to see in the world. That's the important thing, yeah.
Well, and it's like we're being asked to roll up our individual sleeves and take responsibility to provide the example for our neighbors and our fellow travelers or seekers or spiritual friends along the path, you know, because people are really getting scared out there. Have you noticed?
Yeah. They're sure good at planting things to make people fearful, you know? I mean,
well, that's going on. You begin to sit back and wonder, there's enough stuff being, because there's been such a blackout, as it were, on the major news, on mainstream media about what's really happening politically. And you don't hear them talking much about what's going on politically or with the austerity moves over in Europe and actually the stuff that's going on in the Far East, especially in Japan right now. But the information gets out there, and people are scared. So then we have ridiculousness with this bath salt stuff that kids are getting at head shops that apparently, and not every instance, but is apparently triggering cannibalism amongst folks who are flipping out on it. And
can you tell me a little bit about what that is and what the deal
is? I have really no idea what it is. I bought it. I don't use it. I don't know anyone who does. I know I've told my nephew, don't go near that crap. That's pretty scary. But he's a pretty smart fella. And hearing about somebody turning into a freaking zombie or cannibal like that scares him, and it scares his friends who are, you know, they're college kids, and they're out there getting wasted on the weekends and stuff. I'm sure the kid has tried a few things.
Is it something that you get it at head shops or wherever your connection is, and his friends, or he's heard of it,
You can actually walk into a head shop, you know, like the place we all go look for in the city, to buy a pack of jobs papers, you know,
Or
screens for the pipe or whatever, and a head shop where we can find pipes, that kind of thing. And they're selling this stuff. It's some kind of white powder chemical, and kids are getting wasted on it. Now, it should be outlawed anyways, like they took Ma Hang off of the market, the herb Euphrata, because it's so potentized. They took it off the mass market. It's no longer in those energy drinks and stuff. You have to brew it yourself by the herb, you know. But they no longer capsulize it either. It's just really, I guess, wicked stuff. But there's been, from what I was told today, there's been there's been 18 separate incidents, and 5 of them have been played up in the news nationally. And then there's other instances of it in Europe, well, I saw it in Europe, they don't have this bath salt, you know? So what's
they don't.
What's going on? So I'm not quite sure about all of it. I do know people are scared. My letter carrier is a conservative lady who I really love. She's a good gal. Her name is Christy, and she's a shop steward down here. And she asked me, like, I would know how to cure it or something, you know, what's
right.
happening? Tell me.
Right.
So it's like, right. Wow, babe, I don't know, you know. I suppose we could consult the oracle, but I have to say, it's frightening. The polarities right now are extraordinarily strong.
Yeah.
Evil and good are
yeah.
really right out there on the front cakewalk. If you take a look at, we all thought that, realistically, we all thought the president was such a good guy with, you know, angel wings and everything, and that's kind of flipped around into opposite world in many ways. Guy
mm-hmm.
keeps a kill list, and he's sending
yeah.
drones to kill.
I mean, it's called kill list, for crying out loud. Like, not even
yeah.
trying to hide it. It's kind of crazy.
He's proud of it. That's going to get me
yeah.
some conservative votes. You know, it's like terrible. Then you've got Mr. Walker there in Wisconsin, who just literally bought
really?
Through the help of Alec and the Koch brothers and all kinds of, have just literally bought
yeah.
a recall.
Right through that, yeah, absolutely.
And he's demoralizing the people who work for the state. This is all about the unions, yes, the unions of police officers and first responders, everybody who works for the state and actually works for the people of Wisconsin. This is to cry over, but the thing is, people are frightened. They're seeing this kind of reversal and opposite world thing going on. And then in the community that we walk in, well, we walk in all communities.
Mm-hmm.
But the spiritual community, you've got a lot of folks who are, you know, talking about, well, it's coming, you know, there's a shift underway. Well, yeah, there's a shift, but we're making it. I mean, are we talking motherships or what? That's another question. You know, I'd love to have a few guests on. I guess we should have a few on that have the opposing opinion, you know, that from my own, I mean, my own is not that we are going to shimmer into the fifth dimension. I'm not buying.
Right.
I'm not going to be shimmering into the fifth dimension and leaving behind this wreck of a planet. You know, I mean,
yeah.
how out of
and
mind
what's the
are
point?
These?
Yeah, right.
Christmas. So we've got some really frightened folks around the perimeters who are asking questions and looking up finally, and there's so much going on. So, like I said, I think don't you think we need to be setting a good example, at least positive, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you think about, I realized while you were talking that some people are definitely closer to the pump or the engine than others, you know, even just physically. Like if you're working in politics, and I don't know if you saw the senator that basically flipped out on Congress and was just like, what, at one of their assemblies. And he was just like.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
I did. Did you see, I don't mean to interrupt you, please don't forget your thought, did you see
sure.
the one of the neo-Nazi that got elected to the parliament in Greece, who actually, because one of the other leftist leaders, a female, was arguing a point with him, he slapped her?
No way!
Yes, way!
Wow.
I mean, it's fucking...
I mean,
it's fucking crazy out there.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's so childish.
Yeah, you're right. And the people that we're supposed to look to, well, of course, we've known this for years now, but the people we're supposed to look to for, you know, the positive leadership, the template of, you know, things will be all right, you're in good hands. Well, that's just the most fucked up mess you ever looked at.
For real, I mean, that senator was saying, listen, you know, these people elected me to come here, and what am I going to go back and tell my people? Oh, this guy couldn't, oh, we can't because it was, it's not an answer. He was like, are you going back and telling the people that voted you in here that, oh, we can't do anything? Because clearly we can't do anything. And he was like, when is this going to stop? And I was like, wow, man, you know, that's really being close to the machine right there. And I can see where, you know, the closer you are to it, I'm sure the more and more fear it is because, you know, obviously you've dialed in there. You've either, you know, tried to do the right thing or maybe not so much often, or maybe you got in there not to do right at all and you're right on it and there's still something that's pulling you. I mean, that's definitely an interesting place to be.
Well, it's crazy because people are asking questions sort of Nicole Sandler on her show calls it opposite world. It's like we're living in this crazy opposite world, and she's up there. This weekend is an elongated weekend in Providence, Rhode Island for the Netroots convention. And that's all the progressives and leftists and, you know, progressive Democrats, all the people that you think of as liberals and hopeful folks, they're all meeting up there, including Elizabeth Warren and Keith Olbermann and, you know, just the crowd I look to hope, you know. But even in that crowd, because I've been keeping an eye on it on the net, on the panels there and stuff, and there's some really good leadership going on there. But I mean to tell you, it's like Becky Burrell with Bob McGibbon, who did the Occupy Earth and set up demonstrations, you know, in front of the White House and for tar sands and all that. She's saying, and it's quite true, Occupy is still very vital and going. They just do different actions now. And she's telling people, you know, it is very frightening out there because we're getting beat to crap. It's becoming a police state kind of thing. And I haven't had that experience down here at all. But New Yorkers, Owls people, wow, they've been brutalized incredibly. And so have the people in California and Texas and Wisconsin. I mean, it and then you read the articles about Homeland Security and how they've ordered all these tanks and drones are now being deployed to major metropolitan police departments, and this is all under the supervision of the Obama White House. So I'm like, people are noticing these things, and they're saying, wow, why would they want to do this? You know, why? It's like, are they going to put police in the street and declare a martial law? Are things going to get that bad? People are scared.
Right, and it's gotten to the point where, with this opposite world, that really, would it be so surprising? You know, you could definitely see it transpiring that way. And, you know, but yet, again, with the faith and the hope, you think, okay, well, it's so blatant right now. It's like part of this time is obvious, I mean, and we've seen it for at least the past year, if not two, that no matter what's going on, you're going to be able to see it, everyone's going to see it, and they're going to see it quickly, right now. So.
Yeah, on the net, or Twitter, all Twitter has to do is start janking it up.
Right.
And within moments, I mean, I'll tell you what, my sister is sitting at work all day, but she gets little tinglings on her smartphone if something comes over the Twitter feed that has to do with Occupy. Mm-hmm. And if she starts doing a bunch of tingling, she'll take a look, she'll call me. That's how the drumline works, and it's a lot more, it's a lot swifter than the mainstream media is, I will say
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. How could it not be? I mean, and I think that with all of this, we have to realize that, yes, we're seeing that, you know, fear machine, and yes, there are still many, many people that, you know, have really no idea about what's going on or clicking in with anything that's going to be helpful for themselves and the people around them. But then you also have all of the people that are talking.
It's opposite world. It really is opposite world. And here's the thing. There's going to have to be catalysts. There are going to have to be major changes if mankind is going to take a step into his collective, into humanity taking our collective step into evolution right now, which you and I think is going on. I mean, I think you think, we think.
It has to be.
Basically, backed up on that one. But this is something that's going on right now. And we understand that it's happening, that a major shift is underway. Well, that shift means change that might not be so comfortable. So people from our community are looking at things and going, okay, well, the shift is going on. And I'm starting to wonder if I shouldn't stockpile a few, you know, supplies. I don't know.
Right. I know. You can't help but think
about
that.
It, and then I say to myself, hey, wait a minute. Is that the signal I want to send to my neighbors? We have to be responsible. You know, we have to remember how powerful setting our intention and keeping our vision is. And I think that's what really comes down to in our crowd, to absolutely try to share that with anybody who's afraid right now and who does not have the benefit of 20 years since harmonic convergence of understanding that there was a powerful shift coming,
yeah.
You know, to gently say, well, something is changing, and to be very, you know, hey, but this isn't anything that we can't, you know, get through, and
right.
To have hope. And to say hope is a quality of character. It isn't a piece of rhetoric made by a politician. It's about you and me sitting together and remembering the goodness that our humanity allows us to have for each other. You know, I think that's got to be it. Oh, there's that whack-a-doodle iPhone thing. Sorry.
That's all right. What was I going to say? I was going to say that I totally just lost my train of thought.
You know, and I'm the one who does that, not you. It's opposite world.
I was going to say that with the helping others simply with just a couple words, that just makes sense. Because also, if you think about it, all right, so let's say the worst-case scenario comes up. Wouldn't it be and what? It's just complete Armageddon and apocalypse. Well, wouldn't it still be better to live in a frequency of faith and doing everything you can to have the positive, enjoyable life that you want? And even if it does all go to like, didn't you still do exactly what you needed to do? Like, it's not really up to you, you know, how it all necessarily goes down. Yet, it is up to you to do whatever you're going to do with it and to create the vibration around that you want to see. So
you're exactly right. It's about personal authenticity. It's about understanding your responsibility for yourself. And I think you captured it. You hit the nail on the head. We don't have to live in darkness here. Not one
right.
little bit.
No matter what.
And there is so much to look to and to see where there's a way for us to walk back into the sun, you know? I mean that in a metaphorical way, not that I think radiation is, you know, the ultimate, you know. I mean to walk in the sun as happy, healthy, different social structure perhaps, you know, but whatever it's going to take. There's definitely room for a new vision because the ocracies and the ologies and all the ideologies, they don't seem to hold together at the center as the rough beast approaches. Oh, did I just steal from my Irishman friend? Oh. But it's quite true. And here's the thing. You know, there's so much that we can look to and begin to carve a new vision with. I mean, shoot, you don't know what we're going to get out of that particle acceleration chamber at CERN, you know? If we get antimatter that enables us to use it creatively, you know, could take care of a lot of problems like nuclear friggin' waste, right? Nuclear weapons. We just don't know. And there has been so much splitting and schisming of, or mutation of microbes and the stuff that we've done in laboratories. I mean, they've got microbes that eat biohazard now and transmute it, you know? What's to say they can't do that for radiation, you know?
Right.
There are possibilities. I mean, I didn't daydream half my first part of the life away in classrooms to sit back and not understand that we can't have a colorful, you know, continuation here.
Mm-hmm.
We got to imagine a new place in the sun.
Yeah. And I think the only thing that we can do is stand strong with the courage and the faith to be able to stay in the energy and the balance that you're looking to have. I mean, it does take
the biggest work we'll really
ever do. And then to have these, especially even, I keep thinking about the senators and the political, when you're in that machine that's already like that. You know, how are you going to make a change? I mean, that guy blowing up, it made perfect sense, but still he was sort of venting into this. And, you know, I'm sure it had to happen so that other people could also see, wow, this guy really, you know, it's also a wake-up call. But, you know, on a day-to-day basis, you don't really want to stay in that kind of aggressive, no matter what's going on around you. So that standing firm with ourselves and no matter what situation you're in, that's, I think, the most important thing to get through this fearful time. And it's going to zombies. I think that's really coming in, is where it's people who, there is no pillar of anything that's recognized and turned on. There's something that's definitely just turned off. And so something else can come in and create that space. Because, just like people get drunk or whatever, you're not going to become somebody that you're not. Maybe not who you are when you want to be, but there is an inside thing.
Right, but, you know, the trigger of this, people eating people, the cannibalism and all of this, this trigger is like the most basic fear of the human collective, you know? And to have that coming up, well, that came up, and that's what comes up in some of the most cataclysmic historical periods of humanity, like the Black Plague. You know, there was that. that got people scared, you know. So
what do you think it is about that that brings so much? Why is that?
Well, first of all, the revulsion is almost a given. You know, it's a knee-jerk revulsion. But you can also get extraordinarily sick eating people. It makes you, it's like getting syphilis, you know. It's like there's no coming back from that. It's crazy.
Interesting. Oh, wow. So it's really a different way. You're choosing a path.
Yeah.
Wow.
Then again, people have gone down in the Andes, had no other choice, and survived that way. But, you know, you got to wonder just what it does to people. It really is more Jungian, more psychological than anything else. However, it is dangerously unhealthy. The other part about it is... We're all fine and well to watch all this stuff and laugh at a television screen or a movie screen, or even like myself. I can remember reading Salem's Lot in my bedroom in upstate New York while the branches of the birch tree were scratching the window, freaking the hell out of me. I mean, we love that kind of a spook. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
But it also... You have to wonder if it isn't part of the darkness that we're getting through, that all of this fear is a darkness that we have to walk through and get through and transmute to get to the other side of whatever our humanity holds for us in the future. So all of these absolutely incredible, you know, not just staying on screens anymore, but being a part of our, oh dear, I'm online on a radio show and I just got disconnected. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can.
Okay. Okay, so. I'm telling you, it's opposite world. Anyways, yeah, I think this is what the Maya call the journey through Xibalba B. It's the dark rift in the Milky Way out there that we're traveling in elliptic, you know, synchronicity with. We're going through. It's a dark rift. They call it the womb of the Milky Way. So we're going through the dark times before the bright, the light, you know, before the rebirth, which is quite true, calendrically speaking, where and a lot of people point to this Venus transit as the door opening, closing kind of thing from Pisces to Aquarius. So, you know, geez, you think about it, the full moon actually affects the Hadron Particle Collider at CERN, Switzerland, which is one of the most finest pieces of apparatus ever built. But if the moon can affect it, my gosh, well, it's 17 miles worth of, you know, machine, all to find that God particle. It does its job, but a full moon can affect it. How's that?
Wow. That makes a lot of sense, because this feminine energy with Venus, as the teaching, is a lot of gentleness and a lot of just like kind of going along for the ride at like a 35 mile an hour pace, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, it did this into Gemini in retrograde, so I think we're going to get a slingshot effect on this one. The good astronomers and astrologers are saying that too. There is a slingshot effect that's going to be at work here. So, I mean,
how does that come into play?
Well, I got to tell you, I've read most of the really wonderful information about goddess anchoring energy of this transit, you know, and For me, I think one of the most significant things has been that it's basically gone over to an alignment not just with Venus and the Earth and the Sun all together, but it's also aligned to Alcyone, the central star of the Pleiades. So there's all of that influence, but it's in retrograde, you know, and we're going from Pisces into Aquarius in this period of years, and maybe this is an eclipse point for that. And then you've got the Mayan information, and retrograde means that all of this goddess energy that's supposed to be soft and gentle and calming to humanity, I would think, at a time like this, well, it's kind of in opposition to that until Venus goes back into direct motion. So we're going to get a slingshot effect, and I'd like to see where they can, you know, all of these wonderful things I've read about the Venus transit, well, where is it manifesting? Where is goddess energy except for you and me and a few other broads I know who are good gals?
Yeah, that's the thing that's coming in, and, you know, hell has no fury like a woman scorned, you know.
Draft, yeah.
I think that's got to come first, especially since it's been on such the, you know, downplay and in the gray and all of this that, you know, women have gone through for all these thousands of years. And then the female within all of us, you know, we all understand.
In this country, women are under attack by the old white guys. And any guy who wants right now, and a few broads out there too. I mean, let's not forget Phyllis Schlafly. I mean, there are some women out there who just definitely are on board with the old fellas. It's stunning to me. They're doing their very best to strip us back, I mean, to my great-grandmother. You know what I'm saying? Where we didn't even have a vote. It feels that way.
Right. It looks that way, the pictures.
Legislatively, it's that acute, and it just seems so utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
At this time and place, I read today that the state of North Carolina, the state legislature, their Congress and Senate, have just legislated a bill, a piece of law, that says that the ocean levels may not rise anymore. They're legislating the ocean. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's a special kind of crazy. I mean, that's
a special kind, yes. It's a special kind of stupid. I mean, what? So when people...
And what a waste of time.
Oh, my fucking God. I mean, and if I said that in legislature in North Carolina today, I'm thinking they'd burn me at the stake.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Well, I think that's the fear. The mother is coming.
Yes.
You have to have some sensitivity. You've got to protect the womb, not the way that they, you know, not the opposite, which is what all that legislation is about, you know. But
oh,
I think this has to be, just like you said, like, with we have to go into that darkness. Well, now we have to understand the darkness of this energy as well, along with everything that's going on. And, you know, women, that energy, it'll stick with it. It's the weaver, it's the storyteller, it's the whole puzzle, you know. So we're coming with, like, all different angles. But again, hell has no fury like a woman scorned. Well,
and I agree.
It's also very theatrical.
I agree with your assessment. I really do. It is, that is what's going on. But in an opposite, again, nature, it's in other words, she's getting repressed on the surface. If you take a look around, though, it's not really manifesting. It's all stuff and nonsense spoken over picture tubes. You know, it's all on television type of thing. In the real world, down here on the ground, I dare you to walk up to Nicole Tomasini in New York on you know, 2nd Avenue, or, ooh, bad reference, Houston Street, on a given afternoon, and try to make her feel any less than an emancipated, who knows who she is, woman. You know what I'm saying?
It's ludicrous. It's impossible. You know.
It is ludicrous. So what we're doing is we're all reacting. Oh, iPhone.
I do need the reaction too.
We are all going through this absolute anger and fear and everything, all by what we're being fed from a television or an online news source, and it's mostly, while, you know, us and other citizen media is trying to warn people of actual crises that are underway, we're also the positive side that's saying, hey, we got to get back to, you know, the garden, man. Do I have to play Woodstock for you people?
Right.
The child of God walking along the road here, you know. And we are stardust, we're golden, we are humanity that is searching to rediscover our roots in humanity. And that's got to be what the journey through Xibalba B is. And what the Mayans were referring to, and the Vedics, the ancient Vedics, this is the Kali Yuga. You know, we're in the shit deep here, boys.
And really, that's the cure for zombies, isn't it? Because, you know, if everybody was standing in their own humanity, which is what? Being a human, just a flesh, but a soul, you know, a spiritual being having a human experience, if we all remembered that, you know, this zombie thing wouldn't, none of those things that have anything to do with, like, the zombies and the racial, you know, I noticed the two first guys that we found out about are brothers. I was like, oh, really? So what? We don't hate brown people enough anymore? Like, now you got to make them into zombies? Like, to me, this whole thing, it really feels kind of orchestrated to me. And to just see if they can keep getting that fear wheel going, you know, keep the same ones. But, you know, they're the same ones. You can't come up with new fears. Fear is fear. So once you've gotten over that, you know.
It's strange, but, you know, Edgar Allan Poe, Lovecraft, all of the highborn originals on this terrifying demon-stoked subconscious in the red that Jung warned us about. It's going within and meeting the beast. It's facing our own darkness. And that's why it is a time of new initiation, because, frankly, that's what initiation is about. It's about facing the biggest fucking fear you got.
That's,
you know,
right.
I remember seeing a film of an actual Sundance ceremony from the 40s, performed by a couple of ghost dancers who were illegal still out on the reservation in the Southwest. I won't even say who the nation was. But this film, which was kind of a, you know, reel-to-reel private thing, it showed this, and nothing would scare me more than having my flesh pierced and then hooked to a pole and having to walk as hard as I could to, you know, unpierce myself, unhook myself through tearing away, and to have it done to me in 8 different places on my body and still do this. You know, what is that about? It took me a long time to figure out that that was meant to distract from the real horrors that we can face within, to become as brave as we need to be. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. That idea of being able to go through, yeah, the worst that you can think of. And we all know how imaginative we can be, and fear will give you every single vehicle to be able to manifest some incredible drama. I mean, I think our imagination is spectacular, and we can take it in any direction. So,
you know, you gotta think maybe all of the movies and all of preparedness for, you know, the nastiest stuff out there that we've seen has desensitized us to a certain degree, and perhaps it's our own, you know, subconscious collective that is provoking these kinds of great fears to trigger within humanity at this time, because we simply must fear what we must face, whatever this great beast is. And this great beast is putting its face right in our faces. You see it in the senator or congressman who flips out. I see it in a president sitting back who I thought had some redemptive quality to him and bragging on a kill list and knowing what drones do. My heart broke. I feel ashamed of myself for even working for him. I mean, there is so much now for us to look at and face and say, you know, oh my gosh, well, if this is the worst of it, you know, I can, and if we can hold that integrity, that intention, and that good feeling for hope and the best that, and knowing we are just facing a lot of stuff that is imagination anyway, like money. It's nothing but an illusion.
An idea, right, exactly. I was just watching Joseph Campbell's, I don't know if I'm going to say it right, Svahati, or something like that.
Not bad.
Okay, thanks. And he was telling the story of the Buddha, how when the Buddha got to the enlightenment, what had happened, he moved for 7 days and a great hurricane or rains came, and the serpent of life came over his head and to protect him from the rain. And I thought that was, Joseph Campbell was saying that that life will always, that eternal mother of life will always be there with you if you are convened and integrated in with nature, if you're going with the vibration that is all around you. It will always be the serpent to come and cover your head, even if you're going through some sort of turbulence.
And yeah, it's true. What a wonderful web you're weaving. Good stuff.
Thanks.
The storytelling is important. Siddhartha did have that coverage. Enlightenment does come to us. I mean, and it does it every day.
Yes.
That's the thing we got to be telling. We've got to be not telling, but sharing with people right now, is that enlightenment comes every day. And we break through the patina of that greatest fear every day. We can do that. That's our job right now and our gift. It's our gift right now, because that's the way the world is wagging. Huge changes are just going on. But, you know, a lot of folks don't, and I'm not basing this in woo-woo. I mean, the zombie apocalypse is just a euphemism for something to make a joke about to lighten us up. I'm basing this more on, of course, the ancient Vedic stories that and the Buddhism that you are storytelling from that Campbell provided. You're doing an excellent job of the storytelling that we need to lean on right now that tells us that humanity is a cyclic organism. You know, it's planetary organism, and the planet is a part of humanity. Humanity is a part of the planet. That's the lesson that good King Arthur had to learn. The land was him, and he was the land. So as he prospered, so did the land. And basically, these are all of these old hero and heroine stories are the stories that are all culminating before us right now. And each one of us is playing the hero part in our own personal myth.
Mm-hmm. And learning to use different tools, like I see with this feminine energy. I mean, boy, I really feel it the last few days with the Venus passing through. And I see that the best thing and the most rewarding that it's taught me is to relax into the moment. Yes, you're feeling all these things. Yes, these things are happening. Yes, 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 yes. Everything is acknowledged. And then to just go, okay, like kind of like floating in a pool of water that, okay, well, wherever the water is going, I'm going to be able to float here in a comfortable manner and just let it be. And then, and it's got this nice timing thing. I felt like I was in a big rush up until this time, and I realized I was. I mean, I was really rushing myself, wanting to see results, all these things. And now with this feminine energy, it's like it really stopped me in my tracks, and I really had to look at it. And I see that that's the lesson. And now it's like things are just within 24 hours, just a couple things that I kept pressing, stopped pressing, just started to flow in. And they're beautiful gems. I mean, it's, and I see, oh, yes, this really does work. It's teaching us to relax. It's also part of the fear. But it's also, you said, with our own demons and everything that we can come up with. And think about it. Isn't that really the zombie thing? Isn't that a manifestation of the worst-case scenario of the way that the human race could continue to go?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it really is. So here we are. We're living through it, and yet we're going to come through it, holding our intention and our integrity and understanding that we face the dirty fucking beast every day, and we have the opportunity to transmute it every day. And even if it keeps happening that we have to face it every day, it's like practicing. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to practice how to visualize and manifest my vision simply by releasing it, all the fear, and allowing it to happen. And if it means facing the dark beast every day, well, then I will be having drinks with the dark beast for a while. Yeah.
Right, and so be it. You know, if that's what it is, then let's enjoy whatever it is. Whatever it is. I don't care what kind of crazy comes out of his mouth, you know? Crazy can lead to laughter, and we all know it's a great thing, you know?
Let me play a short promo here. Get back to
before you.
You
do. Oh, okay. Yeah, do that.
Yeah, it's only 30 seconds.
Yeah, do it.
Hey there, it's Gwen.
It was Gwen. We'll get it right.
Hey there, this is Gwen, and I'd like to remind you that, you little dooby-dooby iPhone frick-a-doodle. Well, let me start again. 4 p.m., Fridays, mic check on Here Be Monsters with Gwen Berry. You come on out by. Okay? No frick-a-doodles.
Makes me laugh every time.
I like it. I'm still keeping it. I'm working on getting their shit down. But I also want to remind people that tonight at 9 p.m. my time, I thought it was going to be right after this, but it's actually 9 p.m. my time, I'll be with Ruthanne Armafateo. Hey, look, it's over with Ruthanne at Akashic Temple at 9 p.m. Central Time tonight. Anyway, geez.
Cool. Believe me, she said her name at least 5 times on the show, and you tried, and I can't, and I was like, all right, now I'll get it. And I don't remember it. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things, you know, she's got a career.
It's quite true. And I also want to remind folks that Nicole is editing and putting up episodes of the I Love Nicole show onto YouTube and her site. So y'all need to go and watch and be enlightened and lighten up at the same time.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, the website's almost done, the ilovenicoleshow.com. So I got a template today, so it was very exciting. So it is on its way.
Hey, that's good news.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing one Saturday a month. We'll set one up this month sometime towards the end of the month where we're going to do our roundtable again, and we're going to come on to the airwaves in a ceremony with other light workers and healers, and we want to invite everyone who hears this in the archives and who's listening live to remember that on a Saturday we're going to do that for healing the planet and the people.
Nice. I was going to say, when you were talking before about it takes practice, it is a practice going through everything that we're doing now. And I have this magnet that I thought was such a great quote. It says, anyone can be cool, but awesome takes practice.
That's good. I like that.
And it motivates me every day. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm practicing awesomeness. That's what's happening. All right, let's see what we can do with today, you know?
Quite true. Have you got anything else you want to announce? Because we're at the end of our hour.
Yeah, I really flew by. I was late. Let's see. Do I have anything else to announce? I think the last thing I'll say is to sum up with all of this crazy zombie stuff and all of the fears, you know, however they manifest. It really is as simple as staying within your own balance, understanding what that is and strengthening it. It seems to be the only thing easier said than done, and I'm sure it's a lifetime, if not many lifetime work, but that's really getting it done, baby, isn't it?
Well, you know, you're right there. We often forget with everything that we go through day by day on our way to put, you know, coins in the machine to keep things going around us, the survival game. We often forget that we are transmuting and living out the dharma of several lifetimes here. So cut yourself some slack, people.
Mm-hmm.
Pat yourself on the back. Really, you're doing a good job. You get afraid. Hey, how many times was I afraid yesterday? And yet I still know that both you and I can face whatever it is and understand there's something greater down the road and we're helping to get there.
Yeah. Yes. Isn't that a great feeling to know that you are doing the bigger work? I don't care if you never leave your house. You are getting it done if you're getting it done.
It's true. A lot of people don't get that. It is truly intention and integrity and putting the energy out there. Also, remember.
Yep.
Just physically throughout this year, it's a good idea to be in better health and to work on getting your metabolism risen. because we're turning on parts of brain and awakening the DNA. And that's going to take some extra exercise, too. That's just the physics of it, folks. And I'm the one who needed to hear that more than anybody probably, but, you know, hey. So, Nick, that's
it's 8 o'clock.
It's 8 o'clock.
It is, isn't it?
This has been the Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini in New York, and I'm Gwen Berry here in South Florida. We will talk with you again next Thursday. Good night, Nick.
Great. Thanks. Good night, Gwen. Good night.